I love this church. You know, first of all, I want to thank Colin and Navaz for their pioneering work at Word of Grace. What a great balance. Word, which is the truth and instructional part of God, of grace. So what's the word of grace? When we can walk in God's word that's filled with grace, our real selves can come out. What does grace look like? Grace looks like acceptance even of our weaknesses. So let me give an example of grace and truth together. Let's say that someone struggles with an addiction and they struggle with pornography and they have a lot of shame around that. Grace will come and give honor to them. What is a sin? We understand that it is a sin, but we give honor and love on them to let them know that they still have identity, even though they have an addiction. Truth comes in by giving instruction and, of course, showing what Scripture says. But what grace does, it allows people to grow and process and walk this thing out by faith. We need grace in our lives. And a lot of times, churches that are so culturalized in the culture, in Indian culture, everything is truth, 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 truth. Instead of having grace, meaning connection, meaning having to understanding, talking things out, listening, all of that is the work of grace. I know a couple of years ago when I was here, I gave you a testimony about my life. Some of you who, maybe the church has totally changed, so many new people here. But I proudly stood up here and talked about me terminating two pregnancies when I gave a testimony. And that is my testimony. But here's the thing. When I had people of grace and truth in my life, grace brings healing of the truth. Truth and truth alone brings shame. And it makes people feel distant from God and make him as if he's a big bad wolf. You can put this up, please. A big bad wolf, a big bad taskmaster. Shame on you. Shame on you for having that abortion. Shame on you for doing this. You're going to hell for this. And that's not what Jesus said. You know what Jesus told me? That as I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive of all of my iniquity. That's grace. And when I had that grace-giving relationship with the Lord, something wonderful happened. I am not ashamed of my past. I am not. Because I'm not a slave to it. Everything I have done in my past, I love God of how he delivered me from my past. Having a healthy perspective of grace and truth gives you a healthy perspective of yourself. I love all parts of Karen. I love my bad parts because God loves my bad parts. I love my good parts because God loves my good parts. When I feel loved, totally loved by God, all of me, I can bring my bad parts out quicker to God. But if it was just a legalistic truth part, truth makes you hide the truth. Truth and grace brings out whatever's going on in your life that will be covered by honor, love, and respect. People can heal better and share their stories better when you know that they know that they're loved regardless. when I love you, regardless, no matter what, of how you show up, because I see you as a son or a daughter of God. Now, what I'm going to do, I love what Colin does here. I'm going to break you up into groups of three. And I talked about the kingdom of culture. So I want you to give me some examples of the culture that you live in that is not life-giving, but rather brings shame. So you're going to get in groups of threes, and you're going to come up with three things in the culture that you live with that is very shame-based. So pick three people, turn around, and I'm going to give you a few minutes to talk about that. You need to pick out a spokesperson that can share. I'm just going to, you know, we won't be able to hear everybody's, but at least I'll hear a few. So get in groups of three. Talk about three things that bring shame in the culture that you live in. Go. Go do now. Boop. Time's up. So I need from the groups, I need five spokespersons from a group, from each group. You know what I mean, because I can't get everybody. So if you want to run up here, come and stand by my side. Clap for them. All right. Okay, so give me the three cultural things that are shame.
One of them is at the time of communion, when we have to share brotherhood, people exclude some of the people. They don't eat with certain people. So,
wow.
So this is one of them. And the second one would be widows are not treated properly. Even at the time of their loss,
widows are not treated properly.
It is a social practice in India that they're excluded, and it's felt that they've brought shame because they have brought it upon themselves.
My gosh.
One of the major problems in India is that people live in small hamlets and they themselves socially boycott or they practice social boycott.
So this is pretty powerful. Thank you for sharing. Let's clap for him. God bless you. Come.
The first one is racial discrimination. The second one is dowry. And the third one is being judgmental and having a lot of jealousy.
Wow, that's in the culture. Yep, let's clap for that. All right. Come on, my friend.
Hi. I have found three things about nearby. One is that about religion, they'll compare. For I belonged to a Hindu family. Now I came to the Lord. I got the truth.
Uh-huh.
So they say that if your God is true, why you are poor? And see ourselves. We have gold. We have bungalow. And we have car, but you don't have. But I said them, but I have a true God.
Come
and
on.
You'll go to the eternal hell. I'll not go that.
Okay.
And in heaven, I'll have that hell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
And you might have those things, but only till you leave now, you'll enjoy. But after that, I'll enjoy more than that, I said.
Very
and
good.
One more thing, hypocrisy.
Come on, preacher.
Like hypocrisy. Like even the one who knows about God, they want to please the human being and they don't want to please God.
Whoa.
And they does, if he likes, they want to please the like human, not the God.
Yes.
So this thing I found.
Wow. Good job. Woo! Clap for that. All right, come. I tell you, these guys are busy up here. Okay.
Yeah, the three things my team thought about was disagreement with elders is like dishonoring them. That's one of the things.
Oh.
That because if, you know, many times in Indian culture, many times in the Indian culture, the parents think that, you know, what they do is always right. And if we go against them, you know, then you're totally wrong in everything you do.
So it's very shaming.
Yeah, it's shaming.
Shame on you.
Shame on you, totally.
Don't get scared, parents. We're just talking truth here. Okay, go on, preacher. Say it.
The second thing was inter-caste relationships. Not only in marriages, but also in friendships. You can't make friends with a lower caste guy, or you can't make friends with a upper caste guy.
Okay.
That's the second thing. And the third thing we thought of was, we value people based on their work. So if somebody is, you know, doing better work, you know, is at a higher position, you tend to, you know, favoritism. This is where favoritism comes in. So these are the three things we thought.
Wow, clap. Yeah, come on, Word of Grace. Why do I feel like Oprah? All right, next.
Three things we came up with. The first one is child marriage.
Child marriage?
Yes. Second one is dowry. And the third one is the killing which is happening nowadays in the name of the cow.
What?
Killing happening due to the cow thing.
The worship.
Yes. Beef, cow, eating beef.
Oh my gosh, okay.
Those were the three things, yeah.
It's killing?
Yeah, there's killing of humans because apparently they're eating the cow, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty powerful, guys. Thank you guys so much. You know, I was really concerned. I said, I hope they're understanding. But you really are getting this. This is the difference of dealing with why we are in the kingdom. Aren't you glad you're in the kingdom of God? Yes. Okay. Here's a pretty princess.
The three things that we came up with was, the first one was how people judge everyone based on their past. And you know, just because you sin differently than the other person doesn't mean that you are put right with God.
Come on, girl.
Yeah.
Right,
you ain't put right with God. The second thing that we came up with was about father and mother, how the Bible says that we are supposed to leave our parents once we get married, and we need to be one with our husband. So that's the second thing that we came up with. Oh. And the third one I want to put forward is, why is that when a person gets divorced, their whole life is based on that one particular word? Why is that?
Clap for her, clap for her. Yes. So widows and divorcees that are girls get put down a lot. Is this what you're telling me? Is this kingdom? Thank you. Very good. All right, another pretty one. Oh, she's married. I can't ask that question. She got a baby. All right, Pumpkin.
Yeah, from the three things which we came up with, one is from the U.S. culture and the other two are from Indian culture.
Say it.
So the first one would be, if a wife gives birth to a girl child, then people consider it as a shame on the entire family. That's the first. And education, if the children don't do engineering or doctor, and if they do a normal degree, they're looked down upon.
So if you're an artist and you happen to be Indian, that's not okay.
So if anyone fails in anything, or if a person does any mistake, that person is not allowed to speak in public. He's not encouraged to speak much in public.
Is this in the U.S.?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my. Okay. Yeah, that's true. Cool. All right, clap for that. Thank you. All right, the girls are coming in full force.
What we found was one, education. It depends on, like, you get your master's or bachelor's or whatever. The other one was the language, how you speak or what language you speak. Oh. And also how you worship in church. People
really?
Judge you based on that. Like.
So if you don't worship, or if you do,
like,
worship.
How you do it.
So if you're too wild, you're too much.
Something
I'm
wild.
Kicked out the church. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. There goes Jessica. All right. Anybody else? Are we done? Let's clap for these people. Give a round of applause. Thank you, guys. So when we, you know, one thing I was talking with someone that is, you know, very amazing. I love this woman who I was chatting with during the break. And one of the things that she really blessed me by saying, she said that this kind of conversation never happens in the church. And I want to reiterate again, we're not talking about an American gospel. We're talking about the culture of the kingdom where there is freedom, where there is acceptance, where there is love, and where there's accountability spoken in love. And that's why it is so important for us to have breakthrough conversations. I'm going to be talking about on the next time I come and speak to you guys towards the end of the month, I'm going to be talking about embracing conflict and how do we as a culture deal with conflict. But what we want to do, just because we're just giving you a little bit of taste, because if I were you, I would have signed up and took the class. It was absolutely amazing because we talked about what does unhealthy relationships look like. I'm sure that a lot of us have experienced unhealthy relationships in our lives. And I remember my ministry, Heart of the Matter Ministries International, we're a growth and development organization. And we go around, we train leaders, pastors, people. We do mentoring, life coaching, all of that to help people experience true love of God. This wonderful lady who was talking to me during break said this most powerful thing, and I'll never forget it. This wonderful lady's name is Donna T. And she said this. She said, if we clap for Donna T, that girl is bad. Yes, she is. Woo! My God. And one of the things that she said was, she was so excited. She said, even yesterday, this has never been done in the church before. You know, Navaz and them knows this. It's never been done in a church where we really talk deeply about culture and how it impacts and influences in an unhealthy way our connection with God. And she's talked about where, you know, in healthy connections, you know, it should be God, you know, it should be family, you know, work and all that kind of stuff. But she said it's often pastor, ministry, yeah, and then family last. And so when things are so judgmental and so mixed up and there's no time for the wife or the children because we're so much running around chasing the pastor, she said, you would wonder how the anointing could trickle down and go through a flow when things are so messed up and so out of order. And I really do agree with that. But see, this is what I believe, church, Word of Grace Church. God is going to shift some things around. Actually, he's doing it in front of your very eyes. You know, because one of the things that's so wonderful that Word of Grace is doing is, you know, connecting with me as a leader and Donna and having us come and teach and do this. I honor that. I honor the pioneering breakthrough work that you've allowed us to do. And I want to tell you, Colin and Navaz, from my heart, thank you so much. This is absolutely amazing. Let's clap for them again. I really want you to understand and know what God is doing. Because in this church, God is bringing the kingdom where there is equality for men and women. And I break the spirit of fear off of that. Because what can happen is, if you don't understand what healthy church looks like, you'll begin to fall back into the old norms of a culture and going, what they're letting women do, what they're letting women say, what they're letting women teach, what's going on? And that's not what it's about. It is not because I'm a woman that I can or can't do this. It's because who I'm connected to. I'm a child of God first before I'm a woman or a man. And when you have sonship and daughtership, and when you connect with the one that has given you the vision, the Bible says in the book of Job, in the last days, old men will still do what? Dream dreams. Young men shall what? See visions. And the daughter shall what? Prophesy. Jesus said, in him there is no what? Jew nor, say the scripture, you know it, slave or, but we are all in all one in Christ. Not just positionally, but gender. What's a gender? I need some ginger cake. Gender-wise, we're one in Christ. We're going to take you through this last part that we're going to talk about. What does safe people look like? Why is it so important for us to have healthy, safe connections? Let's do a review first before we go there. We talked about the five components of church, of what a healthy church looks like. Who can name those five things that we demonstrated? Number one, yes. And that makes up a what? Healthy, tetelios, a healthy church. So what we're basically talking about is when we can bring wholeness to the church. This is what I just shared with your leaders, Navaz and Colin. This is what I just said to them. I said, because you release this anointing, because you release me to speak into the atmosphere, into the spiritual realm, I'm not just talking to you. It says, as it is in heaven, it will come to the earth. I'm releasing a declaration of a new way of thinking, that your mind will be renewed, that we're releasing that everybody can happen in the body of Christ. It doesn't matter about your economic sources. I mean, widows can get up and preach. I mean, divorcees who are healed and everything can get up and have a part in the community of God. I mean that there's no shame on being a woman. There's no shame of being a widow. You can't help that somebody passed away. It's not your fault. And every widow in this house or anybody that's ever had a divorce, I decree and declare over you, you are free in the name of Jesus. And I strip off the shame off of you in Jesus' name. Because we are what? Sons and daughter of who? Of God, the King. We're no longer a slave. We are children of God. And so as wholeness comes into the church, and that's what we're releasing, this is the key to having a healthy church. And for people that may come with their issues in their past, when people feel safe in a church, they can show you their wounds. The reason why I got healed of my wounds when I was a young girl and the lifestyle and all of that kind of stuff, it was because somebody came that taught me, that knew how to minister to my brokenness, and that set me free. Let me share, I will do that, Holy Ghost, and then I'm going to go through these 20 things, and I'll stop. Because I want to break shame. I know the smell of shame. Shame is a demon from the pit of hell. And what shame does, it drives you to stay in your addiction. It drives you to stay in your cultural norms. And it tells you lies that you're not good enough to make it. Many years ago, I was 15 years old and had low self-esteem. And I found myself pregnant. And I had lied to my father that I was pregnant. And so when he found out, we terminated the pregnancy. 5 years later, I'm a college student, and found myself pregnant again. I was 20 years old and went through a horrible procedure. where there was induced labor, and the child was destroyed. But let me tell you what God did. So I went through many years of feeling horrible, horrible. But I don't anymore. I have no shame. I have no shame. None. None. I'm proud to tell my story. Why are you proud, Auntie? You should not be proud to tell you. No, baby, I'm proud to tell my story because I got a good God. And when he delivers good. There's no trace of shame because he's a good delivering God. Amen? And so when I went through a counseling session, I want to teach how to minister to the broken. When I was getting ministered at and went to a healing counseling session, she began to lead me in this beautiful prayer. And the Lord spoke to me, and I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus in the clinic where I went to terminate the pregnancy. And Jesus was sitting with me. And this is a memory that came back. And in that memory, I'm in counseling right now. The memory came back where I was about to change my mind, and then I didn't, because I just followed through because they, you know, the clinic persuaded me. And watch this. While the protesters, because we have right to life protesters, were protesting outside and shaming women that terminated their babies, guess who was in the procedure room with me? Who was it? Jesus. And when that procedure started, sorry to get graphic, but I want to tell you a good God that I serve. And that's why I'm in the ministry today, to minister to people that have a lot of shame. And I know how to speak deliverance because I am a true testimony of God's goodness. And while the protesters are protesting and shaming us, the Lord himself was right in that room with me. And as the procedure was going underway, and you know what happened as the child was getting destroyed, the same way, get this, the same way that Jesus put the ear back on the soldier from the sword that Peter sliced off the ear, God put my child back together. That's the kind of God I serve. And so I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed. And the reason why I worship the way I do, because God has delivered me and set me free and made me healed of a lot of things. So when I smell shame, I go, And so he's opened the door for me to minister to people that have different lifestyles. He's opened the door. Since I've been here in my 11 years, I have heard many stories here in India of abortions. Come on. Of abortions, of different experiences. But they say they can come to me because they felt safe. And this will lead you back into understanding what does a safe, healthy relationship look like. Are you understanding me? So if you can look at me funny all day long and go, "Woo, how they let her speak. She just told us she had two abortions." But I'm going to tell you one thing. It wasn't about the abortions. It was about how God loved me and accepted me. That's why when I say I'm in love with Jesus, you better know one thing. This black girl is in love with some Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about 20 signs of people that are toxic for you. And this goes cross-culturally, okay? So we're going to get lost here to read 20 signs to know that you are in of an unsafe person. And you can take notes. Where are you, little lost?
Yeah, I'm here.
You got your mic?
Yeah.
Okay, number one.
20 traits of unsafe people. One. Unsafe people think they have it all together instead of admitting weaknesses.
Ah, did you hear that? That's unsafe people. Next.
Unsafe people are religious instead of spiritual, which is legalism.
Ah, so being spiritual is really walking in the Spirit of God, walking in His attributes, connecting with God. Walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill what? The lust of the flesh, right? So being religious is being judgmental all the time. Okay, go ahead.
Unsafe people defend themselves when confronted instead of being open to feedback and understanding their own faults and mistakes.
So when you're healthy, and free from shame, and when I do something wrong, I have relationships where people can come and speak into me and say, Karen, I felt really uncomfortable with that. Or Karen, when you said it that way, I felt a sense of shame. You know, can you tell me what's going on? And I can be open instead of defending myself. Come on.
Unsafe people are self-righteous or falsely humble instead of being genuinely humble.
Ooh. Are you getting anything out of this? Is this helping you? Yes, no? Okay, come on, write some stuff down, baby.
Unsafe people rarely apologize and own their actions. But when they do, the apology is not followed by a change in behavior.
Right. So this is one of the things. Let me tell you the difference between an apology and forgiveness. Write this down. When people apologize, it's just saying, oops, I got caught. Sorry about that. But when you ask, will you forgive me for what I did, it is being vulnerable and opening yourself up to say, I placed myself, at your feet, not like a slave, but to say, I honor you so much. Will you forgive me because I did something that was very, very hurtful for you? So whenever, you guys go, I'm sorry, that's not deep. That's just, oops, I've been caught. Okay, go ahead. Next.
Unsafe people go to great lengths to avoid looking at, much less working on, their problems.
Ah.
Unsafe people demand trust instead of understanding trust is earned. Huh. Unsafe people do not admit fault and will make statements such as, I'm sorry you feel that way. Or any other form of an apology that does not contain confession of their fault.
Ah, that's unsafe people. Have you met anybody like this so far?
Yeah.
Yes. Is this making sense to you? Yes, no?
Yes.
Okay.
Unsafe people blame others and work hard to assign blame to their situations instead of owning their responsibilities in the matter.
So when you know that you're dealing with an unhealthy thing, is if you come to somebody and if they tell you, you tell them, your discrepancy of what you have, and then they start getting defensive and saying, well, you did this, then you know that that's pretty unhealthy. And we're going to talk about that next week or the couple of weeks about that in conflict. Okay, go ahead.
Unsafe people lie and manipulate. They aren't honest about a myriad of things.
Wow. Okay.
Unsafe people are stagnant and show little to no signs of growth.
Wow.
Unsafe people avoid closeness instead of connecting.
So have you met people that are like loner types I don't mean introverts that are a little shy, but loner types that don't want to be in connection because if you did, you would find out some things. Have you ever seen anybody like that? I have. Okay.
Unsafe people are only concerned about the I rather than the we. Even when expressing empathy, they will say things like, I feel so bad about your loss, as opposed to, you must be in so much pain after your loss.
So have you ever met people where it's all about them? You can share everything else, but it's all about them. Okay.
Unsafe people resist the freedom associated with healthy boundaries instead of encouraging it. They have an unhealthy relationship with your no responses and often violate boundaries.
So have you ever said no to someone and they've done it anyway?
Yeah.
Have you ever met somebody that you said no and would cross boundaries and touch you anyway? Have you ever said no to somebody and just said, and they say, oh, I'm just coming to your house. It doesn't matter. Those are unsafe people that will make you feel guilty because you said no. Okay, go ahead.
Unsafe people only flatter and never confront, or only confront and never flatter.
What does that mean? It means that They're always giving you compliments. Oh, you look so pretty today. Oh, that's so nice. Oh, and you may have a problem with me, but I may go, oh, you're so cute when you have a problem with me. It's just so nice. Or we may confront you without you saying anything. Don't you say a word. Let me tell you one thing about you. I don't like this, that, 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 and you did this, and you know you didn't. You better not do it again, and we walk away. Both are unhealthy, and that is a sign of an unsafe person, okay? Next one.
Unsafe people condemn us instead of covering our faults with grace or forgiveness. They will say things aloud like, oh, you forgot to pick up your son, or you didn't know that, often repeated more than once to exploit weakness.
Right. Have you ever met people that said, oh my God, that's the way you worship like that? So you, what is this doing your hand? I don't understand. Why do you do that? Or did you pray today? When is the last time you read your Bible? You didn't read your Bible? I noticed you were sitting down when they were worshiping. You know, you're supposed to, why are you not standing up? Have you met people like that? Picking, always criticizing. You're going to wear that today? What do you think people think if you wore that skirt today? Have you met people like that? Critical people. And you'll notice that they criticize when they're feeling uncomfortable themselves. Okay, go ahead.
Unsafe people stay in parent or child roles instead of relating as equals. They often want to parent you or revert to childlike states in unhealthy extremes. Everyone has this trait to a certain degree, but unsafe people polarize in this department.
Right. What does that mean? Let me tell you a little bit about me. So one thing, I'm a silly girl. And so I may do this little thing going, oh, so exciting. So I may be childlike, but I'm not a child. So we're talking about that people act like babies every time they see you. I'm going to teach you a thing about healthy relationships. That's crazy. Or everybody's your parent. Or everybody's your boss. People are telling you what to do. Go, pick this up. No, 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 no. Over there. That's one thing that I do notice in this culture. You guys do the same thing as black folks. We make this grunts and sounds. I'm like, these are my cousins over here. Because you guys go, you know, we do the same thing. So, you know, all of that, that disapproving, being this parental thing all the time, especially us older folks, when we get around young people, you know, I have a ministry to the youth. Y'all, who's all the youth in here? Raise your hand. How many people want to have fun with me when you see me on the 16th? Give me a whoop, whoop. Not too many people, okay. But anyway, we're going to have fun because one of the things, even though I'm 57 years old, I'm not going to go, hi, boo-boo, coo-coo-coo-coo, choo-choo-choo. I'm not going to treat you like you're a kid. I'm going to honor you. And in this culture a lot, if a young person speaks up or speaks their mind, we'll shoot you down. Have you noticed that, young people? Yeah. So one of the things that we have to learn is honor kids for where they are. Now, y'all got to give a little respect now. I'm not going to let you off the hook, but at the same time, there should be a mutual respect. Okay, let's move to the next one.
Unsafe people are unstable over time. A season of instability is normal, but when a person seems to have chronic instability, that is a red flag.
Yes. And girls, the guys that you're dating or you tend to marry that has a temper, watch for that. There's one thing to have a temper and get frustrated and it's over, right? It's not, you know, a big deal. But if they are get moody and you can't tell what mood they're in and how they show up, one day they're happy, the next day they're this way, an extremely moody guy, watch it, girls, okay? And fellas, if the girl is constantly criticizing, don't like what you do anytime and tries to control you by manipulating you and kind of teasing and all that kind of stuff, you know, drawing you in, and you think that they like you, but they're really trying to use you for your money or whatever you can do, watch out for that. But we're going to be talking about this on the 16th, young people. Okay, so go to the next one.
Yeah. Unsafe people influence us negatively. We often leave interactions with them feeling bad, but unsure why. They bring out the worst in us instead of promoting and inspiring our good qualities.
Awesome. Is that number 20?
No.
Okay, keep going.
Unsafe people talk about others negatively when they are not around. We can be sure that we aren't so special that we are excluded from their gossip.
Whoa.
When a person assassinates another person's character, name calls, or shares private information about others, this is a sign of relational manipulation common in unsafe people.
Let me explain that. There's one thing if you have an issue with somebody that you need to process out loud. But there's another thing when you see an unsafe person that may have an unpleasant experience or a misunderstanding with another person, and then they go from person to person to person to person and go, don't trust him. He's like this. He's like this. Don't trust him. And then you start infecting other people. That's unsafe because you're slandering your neighbor. You're slandering your brother. And when unsafe people do that, when you feel influenced by what another person has said about a person, you better know that that's a red flag. Because often in relationships, people try to get people to be on their side. Better know that's an unsafe person. And that is not celebrated or tolerated in the kingdom of God and in this church. Okay, is that all? Okay, so now I want you to write down a little bit of qualities of safe people. What do safe people look like? And I'm going to share this one. Anybody getting anything out of it? Do you have any questions or comments? Is this good? Yes, no? Yes. Yeah, y'all seem like you're soaking it up. So, number one, safe people are honest and comfortable in who they are. Safe people are honest and comfortable in who they are. Safe people gladly submit to accountability. Safe people gladly submit to accountability. What does that mean? It means that safe people feel comfortable in asking other people to speak into their lives or hold them accountable if they say they're going to do something. Another one, safe people accept you for who you are at all times. Safe people accept you for who you are at all times. Another one. Safe people will share their deep heart just like yours. So if you're sharing something from your past and sharing deeply, a safe person will be mutual. They'll share their stuff too. A safe person will share their deep heart freely as you share yours. It's a mutual regard. And I'll give two more. Safe people walk in honor and respect. Respect for this teaching means unconditional worth. That we treat you as an adult. We don't try to be your parent. We're not trying to do things for you. We want to show you that we honor you, that even if you have to make a decision, that we don't make that decision for you. We believe that you're mature enough to make decisions for yourself. And lastly, but this is most importantly, in healthy, safe relationships, you'll know when you are in one because it's always growth. It promotes growth. It brings you closer to God. It brings you closer to each other. Okay? I want to do one last thing and we're going to be finished. I want everybody to stand up. And we're going to get in the biggest circle in the history of Word of Grace. So get around. I mean circle. Just one big circle. Get around. Come on. Come on. All the way around. Just one big circle and hold hands. Just come way over here. Like just around the room. A big circle around the room. Around the room. No, nobody in the middle. Get in the back. Nobody's sitting in the seats unless you can't get up. If you can't get up, we respect that. But one big circle. And this is one of the most powerful things. You know, there you go. One big circle. Hold hands. No, we're not going to chant. But I want to demonstrate something that's very, very powerful. And one of the things, Donna, who was here, she sends her love, and she wishes she could be here. But this is one of the things out of my friendship that Donna taught me. I'm going to teach one last thing of what healthy community look like. We're going to talk about independence, codependence, and interdependence. So I want everybody to hold hands and look at each other from side to side. Can you see everybody? Healthy church brings connection. It brings healthy connection that everybody is connected and aware of each other that you are here at this church, right? So I want maybe five people to step in. Just step forward and break the circle. Step in. Step up. Yeah. Whoever. Okay? And break the circle. In interdependent relationships, when people have stepped out of church connection, get this now, when people step out of church connection, when you're connected, you can see, you can sense, you can see people that are like, oh, wow, I haven't seen them in a while. They're not with us. And you can tell that somebody's missing because you can see somebody's missing. Now I want you to go back into holding hands, and I want you to turn around and face the wall and still hold hands. Everyone. Everyone. Face the wall and look straight. Don't look to the left or right, but look straight. Independent churches or independent connections look like this. I don't see anybody but me. Me, myself, and I. I don't see anybody. It's all about me. And so you're doing your own thing. My family comes to church. I don't help with anything. I don't help with the setup, put up. I go to church. I don't trouble anybody, and I go home. But is there a connection like this? Do you see anybody? Yes? No? No. So I want five of people to step backwards and back into the circle just like you saw. But everybody stay looking, not looking around. So if somebody step out of the circle and step backwards. Walk backwards. Step completely out of the circle. Drop hands and step out. Are you out? So when people leave your community, When you are a church that does not connect, you don't even recognize that people left. Your hands may not be holding hands with the person, but you don't know. Now, let me ask, people that don't, do you know who left the circle? No, because you're so focused on yourself. I want you to turn back around and look. When we are a healthy church, when we are a church that develops healthy relationships, when we preach about healthy relationships, when we preach on equality, when we preach scriptures and what God says about being a citizen of the kingdom, when it gets into our spirit that we are sons and daughters of God and we care about who's missing without shame, go back in your circle. Something beautiful happens. The people begin to miss what they've been connected to. Church should be the safest place on the planet because it is where we behold the glory of the Lord. And I want to leave this with you as your friend, as your auntie, as your sister, that people like me that come into the church with a crazy past, God can do something wonderful. I'm delivered, I'm set free, and I'm a world changer because it is when healthy, whole teleos happens, then I can fully happen and help other people. Thank you and have a good afternoon. We're done.